Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener podcast. I am Colorado State University horticulture specialist Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Luann Aiken, garden ambassador of Tagawa Gardens. Now, let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the horticultural topic of transplanting houseplants. Good morning, Luann. How are you?
Good morning, my friend. It's a little crisp here on this early spring day. How about there?
Oh, same here, but it's nice. It's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah. So why should people need to transplant their houseplants now? Why not December or September?
Well, we're kind of on that cusp season where, given here in Colorado, we have, you know, a little sunny, a little snowy, a little rainy, a little sunny. That's typical for our springtime. And so there's a whole lot of things outside we shouldn't be doing now, digging in moist soil, that kind of thing. And can't do now because it's not warm enough to plant a lot of stuff. But we still have the itch to do something. And this is ideal to a time to plant to a repot houseplants because kind of starting to gear up with a longer daylight, and it's just a way to get things done that you don't want to have to be hanging over your head, you know, 2 months from now when there really is a lot to do outside.
Right.
So it's perfect timing.
Yeah, and they're starting to go into their growing season, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. And they will recover from any transplant shock, which we hope to keep to a minimum. They'll recover more quickly because they are in the act of really coming back to more vigorous growth with the longer daylight and such.
Have any tips for folks to sort of minimize that transplant shock?
We do. First of all, you need to assess whether the plants really need to be transplanted. So I'd look for things like the plant is struggling in some way. It wasn't as vigorous as it used to be. Maybe the leaves are smaller. Maybe it's not flowering at all. That could be a factor of insufficient light, but it could also be just that the roots are so pot bound that they really can't perform. The roots have actually replaced a lot of that good potting soil that they started with, and there's just not enough media to work with. You don't have a big enough, strong enough root ball. So what I do, the very first thing is to knock it. I like to water them a couple of days before I do this. So they're well hydrated. They can withstand some of that transplant shock better. And then I will gently knock them out of their pot. Don't grab them by the neck, which we think of as the crown of the plant. You know, don't pull it out. Maybe you take a sharp knife. Maybe you do some, if it's a plastic pot, you can squeeze the sides of the pot and kind of loosen where that root ball is adhered to the pot. Otherwise, just figure out a way to work it out of its pot, turn it on its side, and then catch that plant with your fingers, kind of scissor fashion, as it falls out of the pot. So now you can actually get a good look at what those roots are really doing. So you want to look and see. A rule that I was given at Tagawa Gardens not long ago, and it served me well, is if you tip out a plant, you knock a plant out of its pot, and you look at that root ball, and if it's 50% roots and 50% soil, it's time to start repotting. If it's a whole lot more roots than not, if it's 30% roots and 70% soil, you know, just put it back in its pot. It's not quite ready, but it gives you a sense visually of whether that plant is ready to go. You also want to smell it and make sure that there isn't any rotting root material, nice and sweet and earthy. And then just decide whether or not it is a good time to repot based on what you're seeing on that pot that you on the roots that you just knocked out, which I think works pretty well.
Yeah. I love the watering a couple days ahead of time as a good idea, because that can also loosen the roots, if there are more roots in that pot, away from the container.
Right. And it makes
Yeah.
that whole root ball a little easier to work with if it's, you know, newly hydrated. And it's, again, it's just a little less shock on the plant because it wasn't struggling going into the repotting process as much, you know, being underwatered and such. So again, I also really like to look for the white roots. They're white or cream colored. Not all plants have big, thick, robust roots that you really want to, you know, pay attention to. And I wanted to talk about succulents because it's so easy to overpot a succulent. Anybody who has repotted a succulent, the roots are absolutely hair-like in most of them. And they're just so fine that they really prefer being a little bit pot-bound. So you don't want to overpot them and end up having that wet soil around it. One of the things that I have seen people struggle with is well-intentioned but counterproductive. They knock a plant out of its pot, and it's healthy, but so they're going to repot it. You know, it looks good, and then they go up like 2 or 3 or 4 inches in the size of the pot, where it's just I see you shaking your head. We share the frustration, and they mean well. It's like it's easier on them. They're giving the plants room to run, right? The roots.
Right.
No. The problem is that if you overpot a succulent or any plant, and you leave that outer ring of soil in the new, much larger pot, that soil doesn't have any roots actively working on it at the time. And we water it, it will stay wet. There's nothing to pull that moisture out and up into the foliage. So go up maybe 2 inches at most is kind of my policy. 1 inch for some plants, but 2 inches, you should be okay. And just make sure that you're not asking too much of that root system, because the wet soil is just an invitation for diseases and bugs and all kinds of problems. So go up a bit, but don't over rip pot, or you're going to be looking at a pot that's at a plant that's in trouble for too long with that wet
Well,
soil.
I wholeheartedly agree. I learned from a grower many, many years ago in transplanting. This was, either vegetables or annuals or anything like that. Just another inch up, because it'll sit there. The plant will just stunt. No, it's not going to be actively growing for a good while.
Too much. And that's true. Once you get through the transplant shock, you really don't want to have it sitting in something that's not healthy for the root system itself. It's
Right.
that too much wet soil, too much
Right.
wet soil.
Right.
So gently loosen the soil that is on those roots. Even if it smells good, you've gone this far, and if it needs to be repotted or up potted, as some people call, just tickle away, take your finger, knead away that soil that's around the roots. That can also show you if there are any roots in the interior of the root system that are black and just need to be trimmed off. Otherwise, the root system is healthy, but there are a few that have just died or whatever. So tickle away the soil as best you can. Just slowly take your time, so you're using minimal, impact that's going to really stress that root system. And then be careful. Some roots, especially when they're well hydrated, will snap. But odds are they'll just pop. It's not a big deal. But just try not to mangle the roots in the process of trying to get that soil off, because now you've created a bit of a whole new problem with the stress that you're trying to avoid.
Right.
So lose that old soil, throw it away. Don't try to reuse it.
What soil would you recommend for folks on the average, for the average house plant?
And there is not one size that fits all. And for example, we have a very general, basic, good, top quality, 5-star quality potting soil that's good for most things. Then we have a good, greedy, succulent soil that is primarily for, succulents. The point being that they need especially well draining. As we talked in an earlier podcast about succulents, in the desert, they have downpours. They don't have rains and more consistent moisture. They have downpours, and that root system goes out, but it's shallow. It goes out like a mat, like a circular mat, much more than other plants do. But so that big root system isn't deep, it's out, it's wide. And there may be one taproot, cacti and such, but otherwise that big mat of a root system is catching the moisture before it falls farther into the soil, into the gritty soil, and it's lost forever. So I would say just make sure you're using the right soil for the right plant. So again, we have that general great quality potting soil. We have succulent soil, and then we have a separate soil that we've just brought in that's for specifically for epiphytes, those plants that grow in the up in the trees or in a cliff face, where there really is they're growing leaf debris, dying dead bugs, and there's all kinds of just litter that a tropical environment will give them, and they grow up there, and they have virtually no soil as such to grow in. So when they get wet, they need to have that especially well-draining soil, and it's actually chunky, and you see it for orchids, epiphytic orchids that grow up in the branch of in the crotch of trees, branches. You see it for plants like anthurium, any of those plants that are healthy. They're not, we're not talking about plants that invade like mistletoe, you know, that invades and live off of the tree. We're talking that use trees and cliff faces and such as a scaffolding to grow on. And so we have now that chunky soil. It's really, it's truly chunky. It doesn't look like soil at all. It's a medium. You know, go to your ideally independent garden center and ask them, this is my plant. What kind of soil do I need? Because you don't want to give something like an orchid or an anthurium soil that's way too heavy. It's going to rot because that's just not what those roots are used to in their native environment.
Yeah, and out here, sometimes, we don't have the luxury of having the variety that you have in your garden center. And so I tell folks, if you can find a soil that's specific to African violet soil, that is very light and very well draining. And so that would work for a lot of general house plants, if they can't find anything better.
And that's a good point. And you can mix some things. I've been known to mix our really good quality general potting soil with some cactus mix or something like that and get kind of an in-between soil. So kind of use your head, use your logic, and just the whole point is it has to be well draining because very few plants that, unless you're talking bog plants and water garden plants, they all are going to demand, insist on. I always turn plants into people
Yes. Well, and the other thing is not
objecting to stuff.
yes,
Anthropomorphize, that's it.
and the other thing is not just about the soil. Make sure your pots have
Absolutely.
the right size hole for.
Plenty of drainage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Oops.
critical. And speaking of pots, I should go back for a moment. Take into account when you're potting up a plant, when you're growing a plant, take into account what that pot is made of. If it's plastic, it's going to hold moisture a lot longer. If it's clay, it's going to have more breathability, which is great for certain things like herbs and succulents, but you can plant regular, you know, kind of run-of-the-mill house plants in that too. You just have to factor in what the pot is made of. So the ceramics, things that don't breathe, you're not going to have to waft it. You may want to, you know, make sure that if they stay that wet, that you do mix in a little bit of grit or something. You can also have a pot within a pot. So if you have a nice drainage, well-draining pot, you can put it in an undraining, what you call it, the decorator pot, finish pot, outer pot, and just make sure you take your plant out when you water it. Let it drain well. You know, put it in the sink overnight, let it drain well, and put it back in the morning. So you don't have to always be looking at these nursery pots if that's not what you want to do. So there are ways around it to make it really nice looking in the process.
Well, I have a peace lily that somebody gave me, and came in a clay pot, and it's out on the porch and it's cooler. But oh my gosh, I tell you what, it's every almost 4 days, and you can see the tops of the leaves start to curl downward, and I say, oh, needs water, so.
And peace lilies, by their nature, it's one of the few plants that I've ever worked with that really like pretty consistent moisture.
Oh yeah.
Most of the time, we tell them, you know, let the top inch or whatever dry out and then water it completely. Peace lilies are, nah, just keep me kind of moist and tucked in, and you know, I'm happier that way.
Yes,
But
exactly.
yeah, it's good. So we have knocked the pot. We've knocked the plant out of the pot. We've inspected the root system. We've cleaned up any loose soil. We've snipped away any roots that don't look fully healthy. So it's now time. We've chosen our new pot that's not too big, an inch or two at most. And Freudian slip. So it's time to repot. We've got our plant ready. We've got our pot ready. You do not need to put, in fact, you should not put any kind of like soil, like pot shards or gravel or anything in the bottom of the pot. They've shown that that creates a very interesting barrier between the bottom of the soil, where the soil ends and those pot shards or gravel begin. There's actually a there's a word for it. This is, I'm not even sure I can spell, but
Interface. It's like an
when the
interface.
interface there's a, and I read this because I was doing a PowerPoint on myths, gardening myths, which we could talk about sometime. But there's a tension of a physical tension between where the soil is and where the and it defies logic to me, but the water doesn't want to leave the soil. I'll find that word out for you and I'll look it up. So don't fill the bottom of the pot up with gravel or pot shards. If you want, you can absolutely use a coffee filter, something that was meant to drain well, but you're still holding the soil in place when you use it that way. And so you can really kind of accomplish a much better interface there than by filling it up. And plus, you're losing root space when you do that. You're inhibiting the roots from going down farther. So it's not deemed appropriate anymore, but you'll still find it all over the place online and with bloggers and posters and stuff who really don't have a strict horticultural background. So no bark, no nothing in the bottom unless you're, potting up an orchid or something that's meant to have that really chunky bark, chunky bottom, right? So we've got our coffee filter in place. You want to also make sure that as you do this, you're going to not plant that, repot that plant with the soil line any deeper or any higher than it was in its original. So if you think of where the plant comes out of the soil, so that's your soil line, and you want to maintain that when you put it into its new pot. So just be a little careful with that. So it's sitting in there, though you've tucked the roots in, you've made sure that the roots aren't, 5 inches from the nearest edge of the pot, so you don't have it really potted, right? Tuck it in, and then bit by bit, start backfilling with your desired, your chosen potting soil media that you're using. So put in a little bit. I find a good sized paper cup makes a great spout. You could scoop up your soil. So put it in, turn it, put it in, turn it, shake it a little bit as you go, pound it on the table a little bit as you go. And you just keep going around and around, kind of shaking to get that media down in between the roots. And you take it up to within about, I would say on big pots, I would do 1 inch from the top. Smaller pots, you can probably do 1/2 inch. I cannot count the number of times, and this is a bit of a side step, but where I have overpotted my outside containers, my outdoor annual containers. And by the time I stuff all these plants into it, I have no reservoir. There's no difference. Like the soil ends at the top of the pot. And now you've made yourself a real uncomfortable headache when you go to water because you have to sit there and wait for it to go in, water it more, wait for it to go in. So give yourself room for a reservoir so you can give it a good drink, go water some other things. And if you have to come back to make sure it's coming out the drainage holes, give it another drink. But just don't fill it to the tippy top or you'll be probably doubling how much time it takes to water your plants.
And a lot of pots have that lip, they have a, and so follow that lip. Don't go any higher than that, the bottom of that lip.
It's
And that's a good measuring gauge. Maybe it'll only take you to fill that reservoir twice, and then water comes out of the bottom of the pot. But in a big outside container, that of course that's going to be a lot more. So, but yeah.
So don't do what I have done and over soil and put too much soil in. So the whole goal is just to get that soil to settle. So again, tapping it on the working surface, your table, your counter, whatever. And I like to take my fingertips and just kind of go around and gently tamp that soil in just to make sure that everything's pretty well settled. Water it thoroughly again until the water comes out the bottom. I would not fertilize. Unwatering. If you're using a saucer, a plant saucer, or some other kind of tray that you're, or whatever it is you're putting the setting plants on, don't let the plants sit in that collected water for more than just a few minutes because it's as much as having no drainage at all, really. So don't let them sit in that puddle of water from that's collecting in the saucer because that's as bad as some of the other things we're trying to avoid.
Good point. Good point.
Withhold fertilizing for a week or 10 days is my general guideline because you have been disturbing that root system a lot. And so The idea is not to stress it and then make it hurry up and grow. So give it a little time to recover. And then with houseplants in particular, I like to cut back on the strength of the dosage of the houseplant fertilizers. And there's so many fertilizers on the market that you can just kind of, examine and see which one looks best. But I would probably fertilize moving forward at most half strength. So over the course of a month, or 2 months or 3 months, you have given it the required amount of fertilizer, but you've given it more, not as strong as it would be. A lady at the Botanic Gardens once, when I was taking an orchid class, said, you want to fertilize them weekly, weekly. So every week with a weaker formulation, and that's easy. That may or may not work, but the idea is just give them regular, smaller doses. So they're getting the full amount, but just not all at once, which can be a problem in itself.
That's a handy way to remember it.
Yeah.
Weekly,
So
weekly.
weekly, weekly. And that was for orchids, but a lot of houseplants could stand that too, especially in this really heavy duty growing season that we're coming into.
Right.
It's not, it's a good idea every now and then to put your plants, if they're liftable, if they're not, we're not talking like palm trees and giant ficus, put them in your sink and just run the water over them for a while and just let leach out any collecting salts from the fertilizer or any other issues. And just let them drain. It's not to water them, it's to leach out and kind of clean anything that's collecting in the soil. So you're not seeing some of the brown tips that fertilizer salts, which is what they are, would tend to brown the tips. You mentioned that peace lily. I have been known to have a real problem not getting the tips of my peace lily, to turn brown. So,
Would
and then go ahead.
you recommend distilled water, periodically, like maybe every other time you water, or would you use distilled water to flush your plants out?
I don't think you need to do that. Now, a lot of people out your way, I'm assuming like myself that they may be on wells.
Yes.
So it's always good to know what's in your water. And we had our water tested here in Douglas County. Man, we are on a well. And we found some things in there we don't like. So we have made some changes on filtering out some of the things in our system. But I think, it costs a lot more to use distilled water than it does clean water from your tap if your tap water is up to the challenge. So I think if you just rinse and rinse and rinse and rinse, some people will pull their water out on a pitcher or watering can or something the night before. And if it's chlorinated, they can let that evaporate off gas, which is a really nice word. And then, yeah, just. It just seems like a good idea to me if you are doing regular fertilization. It may be overkill. It may be not necessary, but I don't think you have anything to lose. And give your plants a bath, unless they're fuzzy like your African violets or something. There is so much dust that collects, which may speak to my housekeeping, or it may just be how plants do and a factor of life. But yeah, dust them off, get those little pores open, and then return it to its good light and try to remember to turn it. From its light source, if it's a window type source, turn them a 1/4 revolution every time, every week, so that you're keeping them shapely and more upright, so they're not being one-sided.
So once you've got your house plant all transplanted in its new pot, should it go back to its immediate location, or would you recommend it be acclimated back to that or not?
I think unless you're doing, and that's one other good thing about doing it this time of year, the sun, the windowsill sun, the sun coming in the window is not as harsh as it will be later in the season. So I think you could put it back where it was. There's no harm in giving it a day or two or three to acclimate. You've got nothing to lose by doing that. But I think it's just a function of how bright that setting was to begin with. Not even so much how bright, but how hot if you have the sun streaming through. And of course, we never want to put our house plants near things like air conditioning vents or open doors. This time of year, it looks nice outside, but my gosh, open the door and whoosh, it's really pretty cold. old.
I
So
know.
that's standard procedure.
I know. And if they have a pot that's really compacted and they have other pieces of that house plant that they've taken away as divisions, should they just put them in water until they can get to them? Or what do you recommend?
I put them in so you have cuttings that you can't quite pot up at the moment or root.
Yes. Yeah. Say
That
if you got a really,
I would be more inclined to put them in perlite.
Okay.
I prefer perlite so much more than vermiculite because vermiculite, which is that steam expanded mica, to me it stays so soggy and mushy.
It
Whereas
does.
perlite, which is like popcorned volcanic rock, it's steam expanded. It's like it really is. It's gritty and it will hold water, but it will also let water pour through. So to me, it's a real happy medium. And then if you think it's really going to be a challenge, you can always give them a little protection, a little cover, a gentle draping of a plastic bag or something over. But it shouldn't take that long. And some people like rooting powders. It can't hurt, but I don't think it's always necessary. So yeah, I'm a big fan of perlite. As much as it took me a long time to get used to those white speckles in the soil, now I know the job they do, and I kind of it to me it's worth it. It's really worth it.
Good advice. Good advice. How soon? I know people are always in a rush. Spring's here, summer's coming. How soon can they put their house plants outside?
Well, I would say, depending on the plant, I like to put my plants out for kind of boot camp in the summer. They can really get a nice growth spurt. I live in a place where you have to be careful what's grazing in your backyard, like a local deer herd or something. You may not have that out there. I found out that deer really like Christmas cactus. I was like,
Oops.
really? Okay, now I know. I would wait until the temperatures are consistently above 55 to 60 at night, consistently. And then, again, it's just harden them off the same way we would an annual that you got from the greenhouse. And it's used to high humidity, it's used to controlled, fairly level temperatures, no wind. That does not describe my backyard. So, give it a sheltered spot, dappled shade. In fact, I would put it out for a little bit and then bring it in, and the next day put it out a little more. So you're toughening it up. It'll make its life a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
And I would not go into direct light. Most of my houseplants never get direct light. They get really bright, dappled shade, and they're
Right.
just fine with that.
Well, if somebody has an outside structure of some kind that,
Sure.
or a gazebo or something, that might be nice to put them, out there, or a patio that has some cover over it.
Yeah, the wind itself can be an issue. So for us, and I bet for you too.
Oh,
So that
absolutely.
can just suck the life out of them.
Well, and then, storm comes up and, they don't have protection and it hails and they're just out there with everybody else.
Exactly. No, it's fun. Houseplants make me feel good. They bring nature indoors. And I would love to get a hold of the CSU study. Maybe you can help me with this.
Oh, sure.
They did a lovely study on whether houseplants clean the air or not, and I cannot find it. So, generally speaking, despite everything you read online, which is all over, they did a NASA study that made it look like they were very promising ways of cleaning the air in like space lab and some of those
Right.
older but they truly the lady, the professor who was presenting it, almost laughed at the thought that you can put a few plants in your bedroom or your and have clean air. You could if you were willing to put up with about 100 plants. So technically, do they clean it? But do they is it practical for the average homeowner or business owner to and she just kind of giggled and she said no. So that's one myth, and we promoted that for a while because it was all there. I did deep dive into the science from NASA,
Right,
but
right.
it doesn't equate. What they were doing doesn't equate to applications in the home. So
Wow. Oh,
So,
that's good
yeah.
to know. That's another
So my
myth.
birthday's coming up. Find me that study, will you please?
All right. Okay. I'll do my, I'll get right on it.
Okay, my friend.
I know a couple people I can ask. So yeah, that would be
Yeah,
nice
okay.
to have.
Yeah. Yeah,
Because that's
it's
another myth debunked, you know. We
yeah.
have all these this information out there, and people you know, they read it, they go do it.
Oh, yeah.
How, yeah, you know, it looks authentic, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you can
So.
go online and do houseplants clean the air, and you'll get 19 yeses for one no. So I think that's important to get that other side out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, oh, cool. So, do you have any other overall tips for transplanting houseplants?
I think it's just be calm, enjoy the moment. It's a different way to garden. It's a different way to connect with nature other than the big projects outside, your flowers, your veggie garden, your herb garden, nurturing trees and such. So never pass up a way to connect with nature, especially when you're in the harried lives that we have right now. Just take your
Absolutely.
time, breathe slowly, have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee at the ready, and just enjoy the moment.
Well, and as I say in my book, Dr. Joe Downing, the pioneer on light therapy, you know, plants, the indoor house plants are green, or they might have variegation or some other color. You know, our eyes pick up those photocurrents of color, and they help us heal, especially the green coloration of plants help healing. And
Yeah, and I would bet that if you had people and you sat them in a room full of really nice houseplants for half an hour, an hour, and then you put somebody in just a cold, barren room for same amount of time, I think my theory is you could lower blood pressure in the room with all the houseplants.
oh, I'll bet you could. It's so
Yeah,
calming, you know? It's like going
exactly.
outside and sitting in your backyard and on the lawn or something, you know?
Yeah. So
Yeah.
just invest a little time in making them healthy, keeping them healthy,
Yeah.
and they'll pay you back. They'll pay you back.
Oh yeah, in spades.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You're very welcome. I love the topic, and I really look forward to these chats.
Me too, me too. Thank you to the audience for listening. Tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter on another horticultural topic.